The Bible says we must become like children to enter the kingdom of God. What does this mean? Hello, welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on discipling children. With me in the studio are Pastor Dan Solis, author of The Lessons and Pastor, and Dr. Paul Dibdahl, professor of theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you. This week we're talking about discipling children. After finishing three introductory lessons on foundational principles for all discipleship making, this lesson moves on to begin talking about certain groups or classes of people that need special attention and methods as we endeavor to disciple them and to love them. In the first group, which is the subject of this week's lesson, are children. Jesus goes out of his way to emphasize the importance and value of children. So, gentlemen, why does Jesus emphasize children? Why is this what important? What about children? He's certainly not thinking about children having a tantrum, and we're copying that. What is it with this children thing, and what is a child? In was cultural, are there cultural overtones to this with Israel that are not the same as children today? What would you say about that?
Well, it is true that children had a very important role in Israel. There are lots of other cultures that we can study from similar eras. And children did not have the importance or the elevated status that they enjoyed within the Judaistic faith.
Okay, so you're saying that Judaistic faith, children had a higher place than they did. Mm-hmm. Yes, we read about the way some societies at that time would expose children or a mm-hmm. child they didn't want.
Would abandon them, expose them to the elements right. if they already had enough kids or if it was the gender that they were not interested in.
Yeah.
There was certainly some of that that took place. It's also the case, though, that I think our society probably elevates children beyond what would have been the case at the time of Jesus, in the sense that at the time of Jesus, children were valued, but they had rather clearly defined roles in society, and that was basically that they didn't have much of a role in terms of public kind of society. They were to be the old saying, you know, from years back, you know, seen but not heard. It was kind of that way. And so the interest that Jesus takes in children would have been out of the ordinary. You know, they wouldn't have expected a rabbi to pay much attention to kids.
Well, they weren't important, relatively speaking. So the mothers bring their children to Jesus, and the disciples think they're protecting Jesus. No, take them away. We don't need them here. The master has more important things to do, don't you know?
Yeah. It's kind of an anomaly because we don't quite understand it. Because on the one hand, like you said, Paul, children in Judaism had status. They were very important. Not to have children was a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Or a curse.
Where in our society, if you don't, you know, you can live with it.
Sure.
Things can happen. But there, it was grounds for divorce. It was grounds for all kinds of things not to have. So in one side, they're very, very important. On the other side, they don't have much authority or freedom. There's much more freedom and ability to do things on their own and to maybe even govern certain things in the family that was not possible at that time.
Yeah. And their childhood for them also, I think, ended much more rapidly than it does for us. I mean, a Jewish young, what we would consider a child, basically a young girl, could be married at 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, that we would still definitely think of them as
and they
as
would
more
be perverts,
children,
you know, to do that kind of thing. So that's true. Well, there is a difference. You know, on the one hand, we give a lot of importance to children and try to protect them with things. On the other hand, I can very well remember the shock I had in Thailand when I had a case study in which a woman was pregnant and suffered complications, and the doctor came to the husband and said, well, it can't be both. You can't have both the child and the wife. Which will you choose? Which will you choose, the wife or the child? My Asian students all said, save the child. My North American students, all of them said, save my wife. Very, very interesting difference in how you value people and what relationships are important. So we make children important, but when push comes to shove in our society, marriage is a more important thing. Well, that may be beside the point. Let's talk specifically about Jesus. What is Jesus trying to tell us when he tells us to become like children? What is he trying to tell us? And then after we say that, then how do we disciple those children?
I think in some ways he's looking at their innocence, lack of pretense, and of course in confronting the Pharisees, pretense was one of the things that he railed against.
And so this is saying don't be pretentious, be honest.
Genuine, authentic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many qualities. You know, you think of the story where Jesus welcomes the children. In fact, he says you need to become like a little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So you think, well, what is it about a child that I need to emulate? There's so many positive things. It does help, I think, that in the text itself, and actually the story appears several times in the Gospels, but in one of those occasions, Jesus says specifically, talks about humbling yourself as a child. So for sure, that is at least one of the key, elements that of humility. Children knew their place, and did not suffer from pride, perhaps in the same way that adults, respectable adults, may be prone to suffer from pride.
Yeah. Willingness to be under authority, you know.
Sure.
Certainly would be part of that.
Sure.
Humility would be part of that. do Christians, you think, emphasize children enough? I would kind of get the feeling maybe from what you've written, Dan, that you're not sure that we give them enough attention. What do you think?
Well, I found an interesting comment from one of my associates at the church. She's our children's ministry director. She spoke with a pastor once about some plans that she had for reaching out to children in the community. And the pastor said, well, I don't have time for that. I think I should be spending more time in evangelism. And she was just shocked. Reaching out to children for him was not evangelistic. And yet for Jesus, he brought the children in, and I think we should too.
Okay. So evangelistic or not evangelistic, we should care about the children. We should minister to children.
Well, I think that is evangelistic.
Well, you think that is evangelistic.
I think, as we look at the psalmist, psalmist writes in the 71st Psalm and verse 18, "You have made me see many troubles and calamities." That's the wrong verse.
Which verse are you looking for?
Okay, 71:18. I dropped my eyes a little bit.
Okay.
"So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation." Deuteronomy 6, of course, is key passage of passing the faith on to another generation. We have a responsibility as believers in Christ to make sure that those who praise God do not end with our generation. We need to pass that on so another generation will raise up to praise him.
Yeah. Well, and that Deuteronomy passage I like because it talks about instruction at all different, you know, when you rise up, when you lay down.
Yeah, as you walk along the road, it suggests
whatever,
that
in everyday life, it isn't like we have to, you know, have a special. It's good to have a special time, but we don't necessarily have to. We need to be thinking of it and passing on the heritage in a natural way in the everyday things of life and the things that are important. We need to say, yeah.
As parents, we ought to be modeling what it means and sharing this, our own faith stories and sharing what we've found in Scripture, God's story. That should be a regular part of our life, the regular part of our daily living, not just something that's reserved for, you know, on the weekend when we go to church, for example.
Yeah.
And then we ought to love our kids. I mean, I think that is evangelistic. If you come from a home where you were cared for and you were loved and prayed for, that's something that you can never completely shake that influence. So let's love our kids.
And that's where it starts. We love our children, and then as God gives us opportunities, there's so many children that don't have that love in the home where they're raised.
Oh.
Children who are beaten, abused, and they need to have a model of God's love.
Right.
And we can be that model for them. We can be that friend. We can be that hug that they need.
I just had a young person, a child, say to me, you know, when I pray, I'd ask the question, what do you pray for? When you pray, what do you pray for? I'd ask the question, and they said, I pray to God to find something to love me.
Mm.
Now, what a plea. And then you know what she said? She said, God gave me a cat. My cat loves me. He sent me something to love. And I thought, that child wants ministry of love. What a tremendous need for love.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes, you know, think of all kinds of things we need to give to kids, you know, that they're disadvantaged because they don't have this or that or whatever. What they really need and what the church really can give, however they give the message in story and song, it can be a message of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference. That is winning people to a God who cares, and that's very important. Well, wish we could say more about children, but our time is up. I want to say thank you to Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Pastor Dan Solis, your willingness to share with us today. Very, very much appreciated. Thank you, Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer. You're faithful, and we appreciate your work. Finally, thank you, our listening audience. Hope you'll join us again next week. I should let you know that contact information as well as free printed companion materials are available online. Simply go to Walla Walla University website, follow the links to the School of Theology and the Good Word. May God bless you. For Good Word, I'm John Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.